Kof Hey Nissen, Tuesday the 30th of April, Rabbi Gedalia Guttentag, the equal mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, I believe it's the outside of Mr. Shimon Itzkowitz. So, it's really Ilan Ishmael, Sir Shimon Ben. Shimon,
Ben Chotzi.
Okay, so we tell a story of a man who was walking down the road. I don't know if the story can still be relevant, but back in the day there was these telephone boxes or telephone. What were they called? Not a booth.
Kiosk.
No. I don't mean that. So you'll see what I mean. One of these boxes in which there's thousands of these wires in. Yeah,
telephone exchange.
Okay, it still exists. I've seen them recently in Eretz Israel, but I don't know about here in England. So he's walking down the road and he sees an engineer repairing one of the telephone exchanges, and he's absolutely fascinated. He looks inside, and there's thousands of wires, the blue ones and the brown ones and the red ones. And so he stands there looking, trying to work out what it is. And after a while, the engineer works out, he notices that he's looking over his shoulder, and he says to him, "Excuse me, can I help you?" So the man says, "Yeah, I'm just intrigued. This little red one, what does this little red one do?" So the engineer says to him, "What do you mean, what does this little red one do? What does everything do? Do you understand the entire system? When you understand the entire system, and what everything is meant to be doing, then you can ask, what is the particular function of this little wire?" And that is as good an illustration as any, as when we talk about the picture of the entire Torah, we think it's an enormous system, and then before we can start asking what is the function of a particular mitzvah or something particular, we've got to understand what is the entire system. Before we can ask what is that wire, we've got to understand the entire box. One of the ways that we start understanding the system is to break it down. And actually, we're used to many different ways of breaking down mitzvahs. We break down mitzvahs, we do it all the time. We talk about Ramach and Shasa, the 248 Asay, 365 Lois Asay. That's one particular grouping that we break it down with. We talk about, Aseres HaDibros, is another one. It could be Yud Gimel Ikrim. There's other ones people come used to. There's one became more talked about recently, was the idea of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius, the six constant mitzvahs. What I discovered recently is there's another group, there's another way of breaking it down, another grouping that I wasn't aware of till now, I want to talk about, which I call the equal mitzvahs. The mitzvahs hashkulois. Because there's actually seven mitzvahs, possibly an eighth, the seven of which Chazal themselves describe these mitzvahs as shkulois, as equal to, a shekel to, the entire Torah. And we can actually start, we've probably seen so many of them, but we don't see them as a coherent system, as a particular grouping. Just go. One of them being, you could have tzitzis, Shabbos. Tzitzis says, shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. Rashi brings that in Parashat Shlach. Mila, it's gedolah mila sheshkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. Avodah Zarah, Torah, Tzedakah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The eighth one is tshuva, which is a bala turim. But there's actually, when you talk about Chazal, they themselves point to these seven and no more in Chazal themselves, seven mitzvahs in which Chazal themselves say they are equal to the entire Torah. So obviously, this is an area. Once you bring it together, Shtad the Chavetz Chaim brought together. There was a few halachas of Shmiras Haloshen of Loshen Hara. There's a halacha over here and Chazal over there. The Chavetz Chaim brought it all entire together and made it into a sugya. So too, there was the earlier source, or the only source that I found who brings all these mitzvahs together through Shlomo Volva, right? The great Mashkiach, one who brought the traditions of Kelman of Mir, the Torah of Kelman of Mir, into the 21st century. Well, Shlomo Volber wrote a sefer called Mitzvos HaShkulos, in which he brings together, he builds it into a sugi, into a coherent whole, and he shows what is the meaning of these things. And that's what I want to focus on, three of these mitzvahs, but to answer one particular question. You see, with all of these mitzvahs, you can start asking yourself, it sounds like it's very easy, right? Instead of keeping all tariag, all 613, take one of the mitzvahs, I'd say Mila might be an interesting, a good place, useful place to start. Everyone has gemalt. It's you already had bris mila. Mila, or Shabbos, or Tzedakah, or anything else, take one of the mitzvahs, keep it, and then, obviously, it sounds like you kept the entire thing. Obviously, that can't be the answer. So in what sense, we've got to understand, in what sense are these mitzvahs, shkulos, keneged kol mitzvahs? That's one aspect. Another thing you've got to understand, what is the particular, you have seven, which are shkulos, keneged kol mitzvahs, what is the particular thing that each one is teaching you? Obviously, there's got to be more than that. Yeah, that's the mitzvahs, hashkulos. So it's a very, very big topic. Obviously, not going to get time to touch on all of them. I want to touch on just three of them: Avodah Zarah, and Tzedakah, and Eretz Yisrael. Could have picked others, but the particularly nice lessons come from them. So, regarding Avodah Zarah, it's Rashi quotes a Chazal. Chazal say, "Kol ha-koifer ba-Avodah Zarah ki ilu moida b'kol ha-Torah kula." If you deny the existence of Avodah Zarah, in other words, if you just avoid Avodah Zarah, then you've kept it, it's as if you've kept the whole Torah. So obviously the question being, is it so easy? I've not noticed anybody here who has particular, feels a need to worship the tree in their garden. So that's it. What does it mean, kol ha-kof ba-zara ki'ilu moida ba-kol ha-Torah kula? So when I think about this, it brings me back to Gaita. I have one enduring memory. I don't have many enduring memories, but I have one very enduring memory of being in Gates and Yeshiva. Besides what I learned, I don't remember much about the town around, but I remember one thing. I used to go out, there was a time in the Yeshiva when I used to go out for a walk. Where is there to walk in Gates? So once you walk, right, Saltwell Park, once you walked in it, a couple of minutes in either direction, at least back in the day when I was 13 years ago, there wasn't very far to go before you were out, and you hit Saltwell Park. So I discovered Saltwell Park. So my memory is that if my memory serves me correctly, there's next to Saltwell Park, there's a big cemetery. Yeah? Saltwell Cemetery, my hazard a guess. Okay, if it's not, let's call it Saltwell Cemetery. So one day, I found myself walking past Saltwell Cemetery, and I glanced inside. And I forget what I saw there. One of the graves, it's not a Beit HaKvaros, it's one of the graves of the cemetery there in the outer row, had the following epitaph. It said like this: Robert, King of the Road. King of the Road. That sight has stayed with me for, I believe it's about 14 years since I left Gateshead. Imagine that. Robert, clearly, was so much, I don't know what he was, a Formula One driver, I have no idea who Robert was, but Robert, clearly, it was so important to him to drive faster, to have the biggest car, or whatever it was. He may have been the lollipop man. Robert, to the king of the road, it was such a central part of him, or at least how everyone else looked at him, that let me put that on his gravestone. I don't remember anything else. Robert, king of the road. Okay? In other words, you can make anything into a major value in your life, and that's going to be define who you are. And you know, there's lots of other things, just ways to think about it, but I remember once seeing at the end of a football game, don't ask me who or what was playing, but I just have an enduring memory of years and years ago, a fan sitting there in the stadium at the end of the game, crying. Oh, yeah. Yeah? I mean, it's got to happen every, my sin shall be kolyom, as they say, it's got to happen all the time over here, but in other words, you can make anything your upper value. Yeah? And why is that? Because here in this world, Olam Hazeh is an Olam of value, it's a world of value. There is nobody here or anywhere who doesn't have a highest or upper value. That means that's what we do. We're constantly putting a value on something. Whether something, if you have a certain amount of money, one person may choose to go on a holiday, that's of a higher value to him than getting a new car. Right? In other words, that's what we're doing. Olam Hazeh is an Olam of Erechin, we're making a value. And that's what we say on Shabbos morning. We say, Ein ke'erkecha Hashem elokeinu ba'olam hazeh, ve'ein zulascha malkeinu l'chai ha'olam haba. Right? In other words, that in olam hazeh, ein ke'erkecha, there's no value like Hashem. Hashem is the highest value, that's what we're saying. But it's a value. There's other values. Ve'ein zulascha l'chai ha'olam haba. There's nothing besides Hashem in the next world. Right? Because this world is a world of Erech. But the next world is there's no Erech. There's nothing to compare it. There's no comparison. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it says the interesting thing, as I saw, Volba explained. Why is it that when we talk about, the Torah talks about value, there's no, the noun for value, there's no, it's not Erech. That's what we call it. But the Torah, when it talks about value, is Erkecha. Right? And when it talks about the value of a korban, yeah, it talks about the erkoch of the different korbanos. And Rashi says it doesn't mean your value. It's just the Maharal says when it comes to value, when it comes to giving values to something, since it's a subjective thing, the noun, the way we describe value is just your value, right? That's the word in the Torah for saying value. Is your value, because there's a recognition that the erech is always subjective. So Rabbeinu Yonah says a very, very interesting thing. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us that how do you define a person? How do you know where a person is up to? How do you know who the person is? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains in Mishle, the pasuk says, Matzrif lazov v'kur lakesef v'ish lefim halolo. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Ish l'fim alolah." It's an incredible thing. A person is according to what he praises. If you want to know who a person is, what does he talk about? Right? And Rabbeinu Yonah, it's worth quoting what he says. He says, "Malis ha'odom l'fim mashi halel." If you want to know how good a person is, you just have to look at what does he praise. What is he interested in? What does he talk about? What does he discuss? He says, if he praises good people, good things, mitzvahs, you should know he's a good person. What if he does bad things? It doesn't make a difference. He says, if you want to know, does he not do anything wrong in private? Yes, he may do. Rabbeinu Yonah says an incredible thing. What a person praises, what a person's interested in, that will tell you where his bechira is. V'loy sherish b'bechira. He's got the ability to choose good things. Because bechira, what you choose, comes from what you value. Right? It's an incredible source. It tells us the definition of a person, the way you see where the actual person is, what are their values? What do they praise? Very simply, what do they talk about? If a person's always talking about food, he's a foodie, right? He's a food type of person. The person's talking about politics, that's politics, mitzvahs, whatever it is, that's where and who the person is. And that's what it means that's obviously it informs us the understanding of what it means. We began with the question, what does it mean, kol ha'kofa b'avodah zorah, ilu moida b'kol ha'torah kula? Someone who denies the existence of avodah zorah, so you kept the whole Torah, so just deny, don't worship your tree. Obviously it means more than that. To deny the existence of Avodah Zarah means that there is nothing higher on your value chain than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Because, and this is what Chazal mean, there is nobody, or there's almost nobody, who hasn't got some type of Avodah Zarah, some type of highest value that's not the Torah. Right? They may have Torah as number 5, but if their car, or their work, or anything else comes before, then that's an Avodah Zarah. It's not an easy thing. Which reminds me of a story. There's one of the people who became Gedol Yisrael, who became better known in the last few years, was Rav Yitzchok Zilber. Rav Yitzchok Zilber was perhaps not so well known still today. Rav Yitzchok Zilber was known as the Rav of the Russians. He was more well known in Eretz Yisrael, but he was an amazing person actually. A Rav, he was a tremendous, tremendous goy and a tzaddik. He was never a Rav. He was brought up in Stalin's Russia, and he had to, he had to make the best, make do with the best of what he could over there. So he actually, it's an amazing life story. But eventually he was exiled to Siberia in the late 40s, early 50s for teaching Torah. The most incredible thing, imagine that, this wasn't in the 70s where there was a refusing movement and there was pressure coming from outside. If you were sent to Siberia in the 30s or the 40s, that was it. Whether you got released or not, nobody knew about you. There was no pressure in the world that could be brought to bear on Stalin to get you released. Rusal Silber was sent during those times teaching Torah. And the most incredible thing came out about him afterwards. You see, when he got to the camp there, what he did was he chose the hardest job. The hardest job no one wanted in the whole camp was drawing water. Right, you had to go down to the river, or I presume to make a hole in the ice, whatever it was, to get to go backwards and forwards all day and to draw, and to back-break and labor. And he actually chose the job. And the reason he chose the job was because he said he was physically, he was a very strong man. What he's able to do was able to chop into the ice and to do an hour's work, worth of work. He ran, and he did it in 50 minutes. Okay? And at the other 10 minutes, he'd run back to his bunk. And there, somehow, he'd managed to hide away in Mishnayos, and he would go there, learn for 10 minutes Mishnah, and run back. That's a mind-boggling thing, right? If a person, that's an example of having a high value. In Stalin's Russia, in Siberia, there was nobody looking. Nobody was going to be saying, well, how much is Yitzchak Zilber learning Mishnayos, or whether he's learning or not. That's it. He was there for life, for all that he knew. That's having a high value. There's no faking it at that level. Right, be able to take 10 minutes out of every hour, water drawing in a Siberian camp. That means that his highest value was Torah. There's no faking that. And later on in life, he was actually in the '70s. He was released and he came to first Eretz Yisrael. But he went to America. I think fundraising for his today. He's not well known. One of the biggest kirev organizations in the world was founded by him and run by his son, called Toldot Yeshurun. They have. It's an enormous organization. The website is, I think, bigger than Aish.com, which is meant to be the biggest. It gets hundreds of thousands of people watch it. That's his son. He found this organization. He wanted to do fundraising for it. He went to America. And when he was, right, this is America of the 80s, and this was, you know, there was Manhattan, and Manhattan was the only place to go and see these incredible skyscrapers. And when he was driving past, the people said to him, you know, let's go, just go out and have a look. He said, no, that's it. He just wasn't interested. He took out his Gemara, Mishnah, whatever it was. That was it. That is what it means to have the highest value of Torah. That's what it means. There's no fake it at that level. So, it means that there is, it's a very high level, obviously, but it means having values. It means that there's no value higher than that. And how do you know if that is your highest value? How do you know what your values are? So, the first thing is, and how do you change that? So the first thing is self-knowledge. That's always the thing. Gemara says that Adam Nika Bakoso Vikiso Vikaso, right? A person is you can see who a person is based on how he reacts to, you know, what he speaks about when he gets drunk or what he spends money on. So obviously getting drunk is not the best way to come to self-knowledge. But the other two, Vikiso Vikaso, what you spend money on. And what gets you angry, right? That's a very, very helpful tool to understand. What is the avodah zarah in your life, in our lives? What are the things that we, the top of the value chain? In other words, very simple. That's avodah zarah. Kol hakoyf avodah zarah kilo moedah b'kol ha'torah kula. Let's go very quickly through another couple of them. So Chazal say, shkula tzedakah k'neged kol ha'mitzvahs. Tzedakah is equal to all the mitzvahs. And obviously the same question applies. Just give tzedakah, and then you've kept all the mitzvahs. Obviously, what aspect, therefore, of the Torah, what fundamental aspect of the Torah that applies everywhere is tzedakah telling us about? So it's more obvious in this case. But let me just share with you something I saw with you just to illustrate that a few weeks ago. So besides being involved in Kirov and Tel Aviv, I spend time as a writer, as a journalist, and a few months ago, I found myself in the Knesset at the end of the... as the last 2 days of the Knesset, of the outgoing Knesset. And what was happening there? So this is something that you're only going to see in Eretz Yisrael. The last day of the Knesset, they passed a law called Chok HaGemachim, right? Chok HaGemachim, the Gemach law. Imagine Parliament talking about the Gemach law. What is the Gemach law? So, in very, very quickly, the Gemach law began with about 10 years ago under the Obama administration. There was the Americans started saying, well, we need more money, it was the recession, let's crack down on tax evasion. So they had a law called FATCA, right? Like fat cat, but FATCA. FATCA, which was, the law was there to that everyone, American citizens who lived anywhere, had to declare their own financial, they had to declare their income and everything. In other words, the government, the American government going after the tax evasion, you've got to declare, every American citizen has got to be reported by the government of a country they lived there. Israel, Spain, Switzerland, doesn't make a difference. That was the law. Okay? What happened? They discovered, the Americans, Israel was trying to comply with that law, trying to make a legislation for it, but what happened was the Americans discovered there's something called a Gemach. Right? Something called a Gemach. Now, it's not your little back pocket. You answer, the size of the Gemach economy is a closely guarded secret, right? But it's in the billions of dollars in Eretz Yisrael. Billions, right? So the American government was about to was putting pressure on the Israeli government. Says, what is this thing? Right? Billions of dollars going around and no one has any idea, it's not a bank, it's not reported. So the idea of the Chok HaGemachim was to actually make it a legal financial instrument. To make a Gemach, and that's how it is today. If you own a Gemach, you are, like a bank, a legal financial instrument. Not so hard to comply. But why do I recall this? Because the incredible thing was, we're so used to the idea of a Gemach. The idea of being able to give something for free. But this was an amazing thing for the American government, the American Treasury. Was what is this thing? You know, giving something away for free must be fraud. It must be fraud. And according to the Israeli government, it isn't. The billions of dollars going through, it's not. Now, we're used to the idea that you just give something, you have a Gemach for a Chalampa, you have a Gemach for whatever it is. And it's Gemachin, the idea of giving. And so, that's the second one of the Mitzvot Hashkulos. Tzedakah is there to teach you about the idea of giving. And how does that follow on from Avodah Zarah? You see, it goes like this. Volvo says a very beautiful point over here. Volvo says, how is it, if you follow the first of the Mitzvot Hashkulos, Avodah Zarah, till the end, what do you end up with? You'll end up with living a life of total precious, right? You have no, your highest value is Torah and not your car. So, okay, so to get rid of the car. Your highest value is serving Hashem and not your job. Okay, so who needs a job? Who needs anything? What is the way in which a person is still connected to Olam Hazeh? Right? If everything, there's no value to anything else, the highest value is always. So Revolva said what replaces that Avodah Zarah inside a person's life is giving to other people. Is what replaces the Yetzirah, what replaces just the idea of status, is the idea of giving. And that's the Makor that he says is says about Hillel. Medrash and Vayikra Rabba says that Hillel had an amazing attitude. His Talmidim would ask him, where are you going to? He says, I'm going to do a mitzvah. What mitzvah are you going to do? Hillel would say, I'm going to do the mitzvah of Gemilas Hasadim. He said, what mitzvah is Gemilas Hasadim? He said, I'm going to the Beis HaMerchatz. They said, what mitzvah? How can washing be a Gemilas Hasadim, doing chesed? And Hillel said to them, the mitzvah is, what Gemilas Hasadim is, Hachnosos Orechim. I'm a guest here, my neshama is a guest here in the body, and we're all a guest here in this world. Okay? So, therefore, taking care of my body is a form of hachnasas orachim. In other words, there's a revolver. You see many makaris like that by Hillel, the Medrash carries on there. That giving, that you can transform everything in Olam Hazeh, giving to yourself. Giving to yourself, we often think, is taking. It's not necessarily taking, depends. If it's meant to help you in Avodah Hashem, it's not taking, it's giving. It's giving us chasadim. That's how far it can go, giving to other people, giving to yourself, everything is giving. And that's what it means, says Rav Volba, that tzedakah is shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvahs. Because because the aside that the person is meant to be, the journey of a person is going from being a taker to a giver. Right, the person, a baby is the ultimate taker. What does a baby give us? A baby gives us very little. What a baby gives us happiness, gives us a smile. But even an incredible thing, even the smile, even the happiness that a baby gives us, doesn't intend to give us. In other words, a baby is 100% a taker. A person is born as a taker, is going to leave the world as a giver. And that is the foundation of the Torah is to become a giver. How do you go about becoming that giver? As tzedakah, shkula, k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. I don't think we have much time, so let's go on to the Let's go on to the third one, which I want to talk about over here, which is Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. So the Sifri in Re'ei says, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvah Shabbat Torah. The living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to the entire Torah. So obviously, question once again, how can it be that so just live there. There are some people who think they live there. That's right, you live there in Eretz Yisrael, you kept the whole Torah. What else is there to do? So let me share with you a very, very quick story on that. It happened to me a few years ago, talking about some of my favorite stories are Israeli taxi driver stories. Yeah? I always think you can have you can learn a lot. Which may cost you, if you want education about the country, just get in a few taxis, you very quickly learn what there is to know about the country. So, it's been about 10 years ago, I was sitting on Rehov Shmuel HaNavi in Yerushalayim. It was a Thursday night, and people all around going shopping. And the taxis there, sitting there, trying to get through the pre-Shabbos shopping. So there was the taxi driver, was this shaven-headed Israeli, you know, wearing shorts, shaven head. And he leans back in the car and he says, "Ah, Shabbat magia. Shabbat is coming." I thought to myself, you know, when someone volunteers something like that, you think there's got to be a story. I thought to myself, like, what's this guy's story over here? Shabbat magia. What is the biggest kaddish? What does Shabbos mean to him? And he told me the following story. He said a few years ago, he grew up in a traditional house. And in this traditional house, he said, well, the one thing we went to, we watched television on Shabbat, but we didn't go to work on Shabbat. He said, but when I got married, what happened was, under financial pressure, I discovered that there's no way to pay the bills. And so I have to go out to work on Shabbos. So he gets in his taxi, and he starts going down the road. He starts looking for some extra money to make. And before he picks up the first person, he says, something never happened to him before, a freak accident, he crashes into the wall. Right? So he just crashes into the wall. I have no other explanation. And he thinks to himself, what's going to be over here? He said, took his car over to Wadi Joz, which is the Arab, the cheap Arab mechanics in East Jerusalem, to fix the car. And he says, he came back, and he's standing there in the garage, fixing the car, and he thinks to himself, he says, that's got to be a sign from Hashem. Right? For such a freak accident to happen, it must be something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hashem. He said to Hashem, that's it, no more working on Shabbos to me. Gets back in his car, drives home, goes on Motzei Shabbos, and then he says on Motzei Shabbos, he gets something which is a dream for any Israeli taxi driver. He gets a call, he said, can you take me to Eilat? And back. And he says the sum that he made was more than paid for the damages. For the car. And he said to me, that's why Shabbat means something to me. This is now, I take my kippah, I take my little son, I make kiddush. Right? And that's what Shabbos means to him. And that is, to me, Eretz Yisrael. It's an unbelievable thing. Eretz Yisrael is, Israel is a land of emunah. It's a land of deep emunah. They came out government statistics a few years ago, shocking statistics. The government statistics were that over 80% of Israeli Jews believe in Hashem, some manner, shape, or form. Right? It's an incredible thing. I think you could do the reverse in much of the Western world. Eretz Yisrael is a land of emunah. Where do we see this? The Torah says, Eini Hashem lekecha bo mireishis hashana ad achris hashana. Right? The Eretz Yisrael is a land in which it's much more clear the existence of Hashem. You have missiles raining down. Right? Have you ever noticed how big is Eretz Yisrael that missiles can rain down and they fall in open space, right? When it's not shot down by an iron dome, where is this open space, right? People want to know. There's a land in which is much clearer the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so that's the third of the mitzvahs HaShkulos. It means that Yeshuv Mitzvah HaShkulos Shkulos can I call a mitzvah Shabbat Torah, because the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, what is the mitzvah Yeshuv HaOretz, and keep this very quick, Mitzvah Yishuv Aretz is to see emunah, is to take the emunah which we know as a theory and actually live it in a very practical way. That's why that's why the Chassam Sofer says that any way in which you build up Eretz Yisrael, the economy, a factory, something, right? That's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a very, very broad thing. But the point of it is not just to build a factory in Eretz Yisrael. The point of it is to live emunah in the highest level, not just I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then when I get to work, it's me. No. It means to take emunah to the very practical level. That's what means Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's Shkulo Keneg Kol HaMitzvahs. And in essence, and I'll just finish with this, that's one of the hardest things, to actually, when a person works, when a person produces something, when a person, you feel, that's me, I did it, I produced it, I worked hard and I got the result. To live with a view of emunah, that ultimately, even though I produced it, it wasn't me, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to build a factory in Eretz Yisrael, to do something like that, and to say, it's still only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the high level of emunah, that's mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is meant to teach us. So just to sum, which is meant to teach us, in other words, this principle of living in the world of action, living in the world of work, living in the world of asiyah, of doing, and not getting lost in what it means. And that's this, a summary. 3 out of 7, touched on very, very short, but that's the, as you see, a whole sugya here, a whole world of mitzvahs hashkulos, in which each particular one is teaching us a world of das about the Torah in general. Have a good one.